So 16 years in the Army, that's not a little span, that's a full-on career. Everybody knows that. And you went through not one or two little things, but you went through a lot of things. You never have to see active combat out in the field somewhere to have gone through a lot of things in the Army. You never have to. As a matter of fact, go through boot camp and you're going to go through a lot of things. Life-changing, life-altering, painful, terrible things. Mentally, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through physical things. You're going to go through financial things. And then your whole system of the way things work got turned upside down. I know enough military friends, and I'm such a fan of the military myself. In other words, I've studied after it. We did our ROTC. I've loved it enough. I've been close enough to it enough to see the difference when someone goes in to just a little while after they're in. One of my favorites is actually, while they're still going through it, the idea of, what is this that I got myself into? That's one of my favorite things. Just the beginning, I don't know what I did. This wasn't what I thought this was. Like, this is what I signed up for. That's exactly what you signed up for. You didn't have any clue what you were going to get. But your whole world gets turned. Your whole system of belief and thinking gets adjusted. I've watched this go for the good, and I've watched it go for the bad. When you're dealing with a slobby mess of a never-achieve-something person, guess what? It's for the good. Because you needed somebody to come and spank you on the rear end, to come and kick you in and say, hey, move that sand pile to there, and when you're done, yeah, move it back. You need that sometimes because, well, why does anybody ever need to do that? Because you don't have discipline. People without discipline are bad people. Like, who wants to be friends with someone with no discipline? People think it's like, well, that person's got freedom. Like, yeah. You ever met somebody with the freedom to not wear deodorant? Yeah. Did you ever think, wow, they're so free? Like, I wish I was that free. I could smell them three houses down. Like, no, all you think about is the smell, not their freedom. Like, man, you had the freedom today to put on a shirt and you decided not to. Like, good for you, buddy. Like, no, if you see somebody walking around with no shirt on, you're like, what kind of bum, what's this guy doing? Like, even stores know you got to wear clothes to come in here. This is what I'm talking about. There is the actual system, a belief system is under fire. The Christian belief system is under fire. It's under heavy fire from the enemy. Jesus said when he returns, will he find faithfulness? If Jesus said that, that should be a concern to us of, oh yeah, maybe people are going to have a harder and harder and harder and harder time believing in God. And maybe they're sitting there going, well, God's got to prove himself to me. Maybe inside they're going, well, I don't know why I should believe there's a God. You know, I told my father-in-law when he was here, I said, people that don't look don't find. It's just a fact. If you're not seeking God and all you want is God to prove himself to you, you will not see a thing. But the moment you start seeking God, he will show up. Why does that matter? Well, that matters because you guys are married. You're close to each other. Now, let's say you're seeking God and you're trying to find him. And all of a sudden, you start to see him in your day to day. All of a sudden, it's like a cataract slowly getting removed. Instead of it being fuzzy, you start seeing things and you go, I think that was God doing that. I got held up on my way over to here and I feel like God was stopping me from something that was going to happen to me. And all of a sudden you start to see God around your day. Before, you didn't even think he was there whatsoever. You didn't see, you didn't think, you're just going, well, there's no God. Before, you had no idea. No idea. But all of a sudden you start to see him, but you didn't start to seek him. So you start tempting God and saying, well, prove it. Well, I don't see it. That's just a normal thing. And you start naturalizing everything that he's saying is he believes God is doing. You know that this difference is severe because some Christians say, God blessed me with this and it isn't God. So they've ruined the idea of God blessing them because it's a natural thing. So I met a person who now, in the grand sense that God owns all things, it's still true, but not in the sense that he meant it. He got his annual raise that everybody in his company got, and he said, God blessed me with this raise. And I was like, well, then God blessed everybody in that company with that same raise because they all got it. Now, if you got twice the raise, let's talk.
Come on.
But when you got the same thing that everybody got at the same rate everybody got it, be grateful for it, but maybe don't put God's name on that same thing that everybody got. Because what you're going to do is take the big G God and try to little G that thing. And when you keep doing that, you will make it harder for other people to even try to believe, to invest a belief into something. This matters, guys, because I was raised Christian. I have a very unique perspective. I was born dead, so even the fact that I'm here is a miracle. I should not be here. I was raised as a Christian. I was raised in the house of God. I was one of those kids that climbs underneath the pews during service. That was me. I grew up in it. I grew up around the Bible. I grew up around preaching. I grew up around teaching. I grew up around real people and fake people alike. And I watched the Christian walk from the inside. And I got so disgusted by some of what I saw people doing. Not by all the ministries or things like that, but for the shady, backstabbing, unfaithful kind of people that I saw happening inside a church that I turned away from and went out from God. You would think that is impossible. How could somebody raised in someone who has seen God move turn from God so much to go out in the world the way I did? And I'm telling you, it can happen to you and it can happen to anybody. The moment you stop, listen to what I'm saying. The moment you stop seeking God and trying to see Him in the storm that is life, you will lose sight of Him. I promise you. And you will sit there going and doubting, is there even a God? Because everything, hear these words, everything in this world is trying to convince you there is not. If I told you that there was someone else in this room that's here right now that you can't see, but you can feel in your spirit, and you go, well, I don't feel anything. That's because that person in you is dead and that person in me is alive. I have taken time to seek Him and I have found Him. I have met the person of Jesus, not thought about meeting the person of Jesus. I have come to Him on my knees and I have chased Him down and I have found Him. Some of us have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's because you haven't taken the time to seek Him. I took hours, and I tell people this, when I got turned around, I would lay on the ground just praying and asking God. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd lay on the ground and I would just pray and ask God, God, talk to me. Because if I can't ever hear you, I don't want to keep chasing down something I can't hear. But I'm not foolish enough to just think, if I go, God, if you're there, talk to me. No, He's not doing it on my timeline. I'm not that stupid to think that. I gave Him my time till He started to talk with me. I'm telling you this because people in this world right now are so confused that when they want God, not when they seek God, when they want God to prove Himself, He doesn't. But when they seek God, if they will seek God, they will find Him. It's an absolute Bible truth. Not find religion. I'm not talking about they're going to look for God and go, well, now I know how to read more Bible and I know how to spend more religious time. That's not, if I strike you as a very religious person, you're crazy. I'm not very religious. I'm not into religion. I'm not one of those kind of people. I tell people all the time, and I don't mean an offense against the people that do. I don't count beads. I don't kiss rings. I don't do religious-y stuff. I'm not a religious person. I'm a oriented around Jesus, relationship-oriented with Jesus person. I'm somebody who chases God because He's actually there, and I've watched Him do things. And for people that don't, they have no idea. I've watched Him change lives. I've watched Him put arms back on bodies, guys. People, when I say that, I'll say it to complete strangers who have no idea that God even exists and say, listen, I've watched Him heal people and put an arm back on their body. Have you?
Come on.
Do you think that means I could never doubt God again? No, I could. You could too. The moment you stop seeking Him, you'll stop seeing Him. Close your eyes and do a test. Everybody, close your eyes. Now, just with your eyes closed, you have a vague memory of what this room is like. But do you see any of it? No. Why? Well, you stop looking. Or open your eyes. Do you see what I'm saying? How simple is the idea of what blindness is? Every little kid knows what it is. You ever had a little kid do this and they're like, you go to chase them down? You're chasing them and they do this. Like, what was that? Well, I disappeared. The whole world disappeared. Like, you can't find, you ever seen a little kid do this? I still love this with little kids because the logic is flawed somewhere. Like, what are you doing? You're going to run into something. Like, what are you doing? I'm invisible to you now. I can't see. You can't see. Right?
Come on.
It's the mentality of the little kid. But I'll tell you this. Blindness is so simple. Not looking is so simple. Yet when you try to express to people that they have to actually seek God to find Him the way the Bible tells you, the Bible gives us the instructions of how are we going to find this God? How will we find Him? And people still sit there going, well, I have no idea. I've never heard His voice. I don't know. Have you heard? Don't think faith is not under fire, guys. Yeah. Faith is absolutely under warfare. The world right now is having a hard time believing the actual, true, real God. Now, is Israel a real place? Can you go there? Yes, I've been there. You know what's cool when you go there? You get to go to the places that these Bible things took place. And when you see them, there's this weird revelation where you go, oh my gosh, this happened. Isn't it weird that people in the world can't actually say that the Bible things didn't happen? They just don't believe it was God. They all believe it happened. Yep, these places are real. Yes, these events, we have other events to kind of prove that these events took place. They just don't believe in Jesus, the key to heaven. They don't believe in Jesus, the key to relationship with God. They don't believe in him. They believe the story, fine. I remember when I went to Israel and I started to see the story, I was taken back just by going, God, with all this proof, how could anybody doubt you? Just, you could Google this and see this. How can anybody doubt you're actually real? And why are they not concerned that you're going to come back again and that they're going to be found without you? How could anybody not see this? But that's like somebody with sight going, why can't you see it? That'd be like Miguel teasing Ernesto. What, you can't see this color? That's, you're colorblind, so you can't see this color. What? This color right here. You tell me what color this, like, you see what I mean? Now, he does it sometimes because he's teasing him because they're friends. But I mean, if he was sincerely doing it. I mean, he takes a blue scarf and he's like, what color is this? How could you not see this is blue? What is wrong with you that you can't see? Like, I'm blind there. Color blind, Miguel. Blind is simple, right? I just told you, little kids understand blind. But for whatever reason, we as Christians don't get this. You're sitting there talking to blind people, and you're trying to explain to them, how can you miss this? Without faith, guys, it is impossible. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you're wondering, that is why, exactly why the devil has put it under fire. That is exactly why he is trying to convince people God doesn't exist. That's why God can change your life. He can turn it from garbage to success. I've watched him do it. I'm an example of him doing it. God can redeem you from the mess and the filth and all of your stupid, perverse, messed up ways. He can turn those things and make it that path straight again, and he can clean you up. Yeah, even those super messed up things. I have a testimony of super messed up things. You should never have the testimony I have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yet I have it, and somehow God redeemed me.
Come on.
Right?
Yes.
Rebecca, do you have a memory in your head that you can go back to when you jumped out of a car, went over and beat somebody's face in where bones were coming out of their face, their jaw was busted up, you had teeth marks in your hands? You ever have one of those memories? You know what I'm talking about. No?
Totally.
Yeah. You have that memory where you're shooting at people, you know, and they're shooting at you, or you know, where somebody jumps in your back and stabs you and you pull them down and beat them and then the knife falls out of your shoulder and you realize they stab you and then you stab them with their knife. You ever had those kind of, no?
You still have your brass knuckles.
You know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got to still have those. I used to wear rings just for brass knuckles. People are like, man, that's gaudy. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no idea. All my rings are flat on the bottom from punching. I didn't build them that way. They just came that way from hits. The point I'm getting at is, how in the world could God redeem that guy? Drug dealer, womanizer, abusive, not to women, never hit a woman. All those, that was one of my great things. I had this weird, I don't know why, this bar of respect. I'm like, you can't hit a woman. I'll beat a bunch of men senseless, but you just can't lay hand to a woman. I still believe it to this day. But it was like that backbone in me where if I saw a man that even pretended to do that, it was like, you're basically a raping, you know, abusive guy. I'm going to come beat the snot out of you because of what I just saw you do. I would never raise my hand to a woman. But I raised my hand to enough men to tell you that the logic is somewhat flawed when you're hurting human beings in general to be so gender set and not realize what you're doing to the men. Like, what about that human? He matters too. What in the world are you doing to him? Like, what are you talking about? God had to do a redemptive work in me is what I'm saying. If you can't tell that I'm not the person, the same person who would beat people senseless for no reason, who would be so rage-filled to jump pizza counters and beat them until their teeth came out in my bone of my hand, if you don't think that I'm different than that person, you're crazy. You're crazy. I was aggressive. I was violent. I was a messed up worldly person. I was an alcoholic. I would wake up in the middle of the night to drink a beer, put it down, and go back to sleep. I was a drug addict, but only to the drugs I liked. And I was a drug seller. I would sell drugs out to people because I wanted the money and could care less about what happened to them because I cared less about what happened to me. Do I look like that kind of person to you? Do I sound like that kind of person to you? Then how in the world did I go from that to this? Because I want to trick a whole bunch of people into believing something that isn't true? So I got into a profession where I could come and try and teach and trick all of you that come chase this thing so you can give me money? You don't give me money. Not only that, but I don't want it. So why am I in this? If it's not to get paid off, is it purely because I just enjoy tricking people to find something that isn't there? No, it's because when I help you find it, your eyes will open and you will see something you've never seen that's been there your whole life, because God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's always been there, and you will see the signs of him keeping you and protecting you. And even though you've been a lazy bum, good for nothing, sit there, do nothing guy, God has been there to keep and watch you. No matter what you've done, he's been there. And as your eyes open, you start to realize there is something behind the veil that I didn't realize was there. And the more you see, the more I love helping people come to meet my Savior. Because once you meet him, it is a life-changing, it is an adjusting moment in your existence.
Yes, it is.
Now, I want to read this quickly over in Daniel 3, so you can go ahead and turn there. I should have given you, it's Old Testament if you're wondering where Daniel was. If you're on your phone, it doesn't matter because you're just going to click click there. This is a story that I love, and we're not going to read the beginning. I'm just going to explain it. So as you get turning there to Daniel 3, we're going to end up in verse 16. But we're going to start off by explaining the story a little bit. There was a king, Nebuchadnezzar, and this king had built an idol or a false god, in other words, that he wanted people to worship. And this was about himself, of course. You know, this is the way most kings are still to this day. This is the way that most powerful men or women become. They want people to kind of look at them as though they're the super special, and we all realize we're all special to God, but, you know, Christians do. What happens is this king sets up this huge image, this huge statue. It'd be like me going, I want a statue myself, and I want it to be 90 feet tall, and this is literally what he did. And then, you know, make it super wide and super tall, and I want everybody to see it from, imagine a 90-foot tall thing back then. Like, you could be way over there and you're going to see it because there isn't a bunch of tall stuff in the way, right? And so what he did, he did this weird thing too. He made it 6D tall, 6 wide, and then he had 6 different instrument players play instruments. And whenever the sound of the instruments, if you read the story later for yourself, whenever the sound of the instruments would trigger off, everybody was supposed to bow down to that statue wherever you were. You ever been around a Muslim person during that time of day when they go lay down on their carpet? And you're like, oh, is it nappy time? Like, what happened? I didn't even realize that it was like, you know, okay, you're just going to lay down now. This is what they're doing. They're still honoring the same idea of this false god worship, where no matter what, at a certain time, and if you're in a Muslim country, and I've been to those, and they have the sounds go off, they actually have an alert sound that goes off, and then all of them do it then during that same time. Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's weird to us because it's still not the way God doesn't want us doing that. Like, if he wanted us doing that, he'd just make a big horn from heaven and be like, and all the humans on earth would be like, okay, it's time to bow down to God. God wants it to be a relationship-based bow down, not a time-based, not a sound-based bow down. I'm mentioning that because these people would bow down to the sound. They didn't have to be looking at the statue. They didn't have to be thinking about him. They had to hear the sound, and they were supposed to respond to the sound. That's important because Goliath was a sound. Yeah. That's important because even the walls of Jericho came down to a sound, and sound was important. And they would bow down to this sound, and they would bow down to the image, to the false god. Why would they do that? Do you remember the penalty? Or we're going to read about it. So over here in verse 16, it says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you ever think about naming your children this, I would suggest against it. These are names that, like, you know, Joe, Bill, Tom. Like, people with those names are super psyched when they hear these names. They're like, hey, I'm not Shadrach. Like, that's a hard name to get over. Like, what are you doing? It's little Tommy and Billy and Shadrach. Like, say that again. Are you sure? Abednego. Like, that sounds like a station wagon or something you take your family on a vacation in. It doesn't sound like somebody's name. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was also one. Have you ever tried spelling that? M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P. No. Nebuchadnezzar looks like it's three words, and they smashed them all together. They had an accident. We have no need to answer you in this matter. This is them because they did not bow down. I'm getting to this because what is the punishment for not bowing down? It wasn't a slap on the wrist. It wasn't, you were supposed to bow down. The punishment was much more severe. So they go through this whole back and forth with Nebuchadnezzar, and they say to him this in verse 16. They say to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Listen, if you have to say burning and fiery at the same time, that furnace is beyond just a warm furnace. It's not like I left the heat on in the house and it feels like a burning fiery furnace. That's the way I talk about it. If she's normally comfortable, I'm like, it's a burning fiery furnace in here. I want the air conditioning on now. Let's do some window cracking in this place. Not in Florida. In Florida, that just does the opposite, if you're wondering. So it's burning, it's fiery, and it's a furnace. And it says this, he is able to, say able to. He's able to, in other words, God can, and this is where most Christians fall down. You ever been sick, had a headache, or didn't feel good, and then you prayed and you didn't get healed? How is that even possible? If God's the God that heals, how could I not be getting healed in the moment I want to be healed of this thing? Because look, I'm suffering. Why would my faith be being tested? You ever had that happen? And guess what is being tested? Like I said in the beginning, it is your faith. It is not your body. God's not trying to be like, I just wonder if their bacteria body can fight this bacteria. I wonder if I built that thing good enough. Let's just test it. God's not doing that. He's not going, let me just make you suffer for a while. The devil's putting just enough warfare. It's cool because we have some military-minded people in here. I want you to imagine enemy fire. All you have to do is start hearing it. If you've ever been in a place where there's guns going off, I know what it sounds like. To normal people, it'd be like, oh, wow, some weird-sounding fireworks are going off in rhythm. Strange. Like, and they're going off all around us. If you're under fire, and I've been shot. To get shot, you have to have been under fire. I know what it's like when you're under fire. I know the sound of it. But I want you to imagine the enemy is firing. Is your response to stick your head up and be like, wonder where he's at? No. If that's your response, you're not in the military very long. You're in the military long enough for, pew! Oh, Bill's gone. You don't stick your head up. You get your head down. Like, you want to find out where it's coming from, sure. But don't do it by sticking your head up. There's the whole military has all kinds of ways to find out where you're at, and none of them are stick your head out the deep and see if you can see them. Like, okay, Bill, that sniper's over by those rocks. If you're under fire, the idea of fire, there's different types. There's suppressive fire to suppress you, to keep you down on purpose so we can come and sneak. You ever heard that phrase? So there's suppressive fire. That's one way. Then there's the other kind. You ever seen? I've watched people do this in real life, so it's unfortunate. You ever seen somebody, like in the movies, where they shoot and they can't hit the target for nothing? Like, almost every movie where they shoot, I'm always thinking to myself, like, where did you learn to shoot? How did you miss the guy? You ever seen a movie where the hero runs out the door and, like, three bullets hit the side of the door on his way out, and you're just like, that's impossible. It's not possible. Like, Alex can't be from here to me, and I pull my gun out, and I miss him. I mean, I'd have to be a bad shot. Even if I'm nervous, I'm hitting him. And I don't get nervous easy. But I'm hitting him. What if he startles me and makes a noise and then runs out the door? I'm still hitting him. I'll just be like, what was that noise? It's impossible, some of the weird misses that you see happen. When the enemy is targeting you, to think that the enemy is targeting you and just randomly missing. Like, there's a movie where the guy shoots and it's all holes around the guy in the wall. And they're like, whoa, like, that is a bad shot. Like, yeah, we're right here and I'm missing you like that. Maybe that wasn't what I was doing, was targeting you. Maybe I was trying to suppress you. Anyway, the enemy will come and try and suppress you. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't saying, I'm a god, I see you when you sleep, so I'm going to come to your house and haunt you if you don't bow down. He was getting them to bow down, not out of their respect for him, not out of their awe of him, not under their understanding that he was God, but out of the fear of a fire, a burning fiery furnace. And what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did is they said, our God can deliver us. And like I said, you might go through those moments where you're also saying that. You know, you might say to your husband, well, God can heal me of this, but even if he doesn't. That's great, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faith. But even going through the battle is there to test you or put your faith under fire by the devil. He's just putting that suppressive fire in the atmosphere, that over-the-top fire to try and keep your head down in the atmosphere. And if there's angels coming to bring your answer, he's keeping that fire on just long enough that you might quit your faith on it so the angels are called off. You hear what I'm saying? It might be put on a wagon. You know, you ever ordered an Amazon package? It's supposed to be delivered in 2 days. And then 3 days later, you're like, what's the point of Amazon? Like, I don't understand what the point of that. I've had that happen. Well, after the second day, it was supposed to be delivered. When that day ends and you're looking outside at 8 o'clock at night and you're like, well, this is impossible. They said it was going to be today. And it didn't get delivered. They don't tell you on the website, it's coming tomorrow. They say, your package is delayed. It's going to come to you as soon as possible. And you're like, what does that even mean? To a company that tells me 2 days, it's going to come to you. And if not, you can return it. Even mean. This is a guarantee, right? If the devil can delay your answer just long enough.
That's
the whole point of putting faith under fire. Let's just get you to delay it long enough where you quit. Just long enough where you go and you say, now return. That this is what's happening to people.
Yes.
This is why that war goes on. Why does that headache last? It doesn't last on everybody, guys.
Come on.
Why does that sickness last on you a little while? It doesn't last on everybody. It lasts on people when the devil's putting the fire down to get them to try and quit.
Come on.
It will happen to everybody, but what I'm saying is God heals some people immediately. And sometimes he wants to show himself strong if you'll not quit. So they said, he will deliver us from your hand, O king. This is so cool. The burning fiery furnace is there. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. And then it says a very cool thing in verse 18. But if not, say if not.
If not.
Most Christians can't even conceive of what that word means, or that sentence. But if not. Whoa, 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 whoa. I thought, but only that he, yes.
Come on.
God will surely give me things. I thought it's in the Bible. God will surely set me free from. No. You're a, say this word, you're going to hate it, servant.
Servant.
Weird. What kind of weird thing is that?
Yeah.
Well, heaven's about God, not about you. Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying get thy over thyself. That's another thing the military will help you do, is get right on over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first day, this isn't fair. What's that word you used? You're about to see a lot of fair tonight with this toothbrush in that bathroom. Fair stuff all over the place. That was a movie. Guys, you had to see the movie. Anyway. Yes, thank you. Well, now everybody knows. That was... It was a long time ago. I know my movies. Those are movies I liked back in... Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, little g. This is important because it's the stand a Christian has to take. You will take this with your family. There's going to be times in your family that you're going to take a stand and you're going to go, God can, God will, and if he doesn't, we're not serving those gods. It's not who we are. My parents used to have inside the door a sign that said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You're going to take a stance in your relationships where you're going to have to say with one another, listen, God can, but if he doesn't, we're not quitting on God.
That's right.
And you're going to have to say this with yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to say this in your finances. If you want to get blessed, you're going to have to be able to handle when you're not.
Yes.
Why isn't God blessing me?
Come on.
I don't know. You know, if I look at you as a portfolio, what kind of investment opportunity are you? Oh, by your history, a terrible one.
Oh.
So why would I invest in you? Why would God invest in you?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe fix the holes up.
Yeah.
Loose purse. You ever, my wife, God bless her, she would come to me regularly back in the day. Now, not so much, but I lost my keys. I lost my wallet. Where's your wallet? Maybe it's at the store. And she'd call, and sure enough, it'd be sitting at the store. And I'm like, I don't even know how. Like, I've never had that happen where I'm like, I think I left it at the store. I just took it out. It's just my wallet and all my stuff. And I'm like,
it's going to happen to
Yeah. And it doesn't happen. I don't carry my wallet.
Yeah.
It would be a miracle if it happened. Somebody'd have to like steal my house. But I've taken precautions. I left it, Miguel would have to leave it. Like I've gotten credit cards with my cards with his name on it, so I don't have to carry my wallet around and I can still buy stuff. I'd be like, let's buy this. Because I'm not leaving my wallet. You might leave my wallet, but I'm not leaving it. This is one of those things that back in the day she would be like, I lost my this or I lost my that. And I'd be like, how did you lose that thing? Where is it? I don't know. And like I said, this has not happened in quite some time. But this used to happen where she would come to me and be like, where's this thing? I don't know. I lost it. I think I left it at. And then you'd see that little trace like where you try to think back in your memory like, where did I lose this thing? And this is the thing is there is this pressure that the devil brings sometimes to make you forget where the faith was, forget where the relationship was, forget what was important in your life, forget where you invested something. And it can happen. You can forget the love in your relationship with your spouse. You can look at your spousal relationship and not think, oh, this is under fire. My belief in my marriage is under fire. My belief in our future is under fire. You won't think that. You're just going to think you're under fire. You're just going to think, I'm personally being attacked. You're not going to think that your faith in that relationship is. Because without faith, how are you going to bring that to something that pleases God? We better finish this story or we're never going to close. Now I'm going to skip ahead a ways because things happen. I do like this part. The Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury in verse 19. And this, again, you have all been there for whatever thing it may be. You've been there. And the expression on his face changed. Towards them, towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That doesn't mean he was like full of rage and all of a sudden he's like he wasn't the Joker. His expression changed into like angry, hostile, like, I'm gonna get you guys. And then he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Not like 7 degrees more.
Yeah, come on.
7 times, that's a multiplication, if you're wondering, of its normal heat. Like we normally put 10 logs in that furnace. You're asking me to 7 times that.
Yeah.
I'll save you the math, Miguel. That's a lot. Miguel and math are one of my favorite. You should test them one day. It's actually fun. Like he'll be like, how many maths is that? Like it's not maths, guy. It's just math is a thing. Like he'll add up some numbers. It's actually one of my favorite things. I like Miguel's, what some people think are faults, they're still my favorite parts about Miguel. If he changed them, I'd be a little disappointed. I'd be like, oh, Miguel, don't go to school and learn math. It's going to ruin this whole thing for me. We'll measure things. It was like there was another guy up in the north, and he's, let's just say he was 50. This wasn't the case. He was 40, and I was turning 30. He's like, man, I'm 20 years older than you. And I'm like... Like, maybe you are. If that's the way you do math, like, did you see new math and it confused you, like, real bad? Like, I'm turning 40 and you're turning 30. I can't believe I'm 20 years older than you. Like, that made Miguel look like a math genius. And Miguel only has some issues with some maths, but he does good in other things. This guy was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. How old are your kids? Anyway... I want you to get this picture. The furnace is getting heated up. It's getting heated up so bad, in fact, that when the guards throw them in, the guards die. Yeah, imagine that. That's not warm. That's not like, oh my gosh, Florida is so hot. I'm just sweating. Like, no. So are most places when you go into the hot of the summer. Try Texas sometime. I remember going outside and the blacktop was so, like it was 114 outside. The blacktop was so hot that in my shoes, I needed to get off the blacktop. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
There's hot places, but this fire was hotter. I mean, if you died putting somebody in it, you know you didn't have to go all the way over the door. You threw them some of the way.
Right.
And you still died?
Yeah.
That's a hot furnace.
Yep.
That's a hot furnace. Now, what happens? Well, faith is under fire, right? They don't quit and give up. They say, even if God can, this is still what I believe actual faith looks like, guys. God can heal it. God can fix it. God can deliver it. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't stop him from being able to. It doesn't stop him from being God. It doesn't stop him from being my Lord. And I won't serve and bow down to the other thing. so important. This is what actual faith looks like. This is what is being under fire by the world right now is actual faith. He can, and even if he doesn't.
That's right. Come on.
This is the result. What happens if you keep your faith? Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Astonished. And he rose in haste. This was not like, this is, we'd say you jumped up. He was sitting there astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. What else are you going to say? Yeah. Yep, we did. And all the guards died, but look. And he says to them, look, he answers back to the people that said true. I see four men loose. That's the cool part about the fire, guys, is if you don't quit in the fire, the bonds that have held you, the chains that have held you are going to melt right off.
That's great.
They are going to come out. You will find a freedom on the other side if you won't quit into the fire.
Yes.
Now, this is cool. It says, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. This has always been so cool to me because if you're walking, you could walk out. But they were in it all of a sudden going, we're safe here. Jesus is here. He says it in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. You'd know it. They're not hurt. And the form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. Why does this matter? Because if you won't quit, this is the cool part. When the devil puts your faith under fire, he puts your belief system under fire. He puts a bunch of things going on in your life. You ever had so many things just going on today? Today was just busy. I'm just too busy to think about anything. Now, that's never true. Really, what you should say is, I'm too short-sighted to realize the big picture of what's happening in my day. And because of that, I refuse to think of something that could help me. That's what you should say. It's not what you will say. What you will say is, my life is so busy right now, you don't understand, I don't have room for. That's what you will say. What you won't say is, I refuse to open up my doors in my life to anything that could possibly help me. I want to smack into this wall to prove the point. The fourth one is like the Son of God. This is one of the coolest parts to me. They could have walked out, but they stayed there. Why? I thought about this many times. Because Jesus showed up. And the coolest part is, if you don't quit when you're under fire, Jesus himself will show up strong as your Savior. He will come. Why does this matter? It says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, this is why it's under fire, if you're wondering, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, hear what I'm saying, it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is exactly what this is talking about in 1 Peter 1:7. This is exactly what happened in the story in Daniel, is when Jesus does show up, the glory of his name will be so strong if we will stand through that fire. The glory of Jesus showing up will be so strong that it will bring honor and praise and glory to his name. You hear what I'm saying? If you ever wondered, well, why would a Christian ever get sick? How come a Christian would ever have to fight a battle? How come we ever have to go? Why doesn't God just keep the Jewish people have had nothing but good things in their lives? Like, no, they haven't. They've been under fire through their lives. Well, what about the Christian people? Once you get saved, shouldn't all the bad stuff just go away? Are you crazy? I tell people this all the time. You go to graveyards and shoot all the graves? Like, no. I don't care how weird you are, much of a movie buff that you are, you're not really concerned about zombies. You'd live different. I can prove that to you. You'd live different. You're not shooting at graves. You're shooting at real targets. You know, you're not going out there like, hey, let me kill all the dead things. You're looking for live things. When you start becoming alive in God, that's right when the devil wants to pling you. Right? This is the truth. And the fact is that this fire that comes is meant to help set you free, and it's meant to bring glory and honor to God if you'll not quit. You know, Rick and Amy, when they went through that battle, they both wanted her to just be healed. Could God do it? Yeah, he can. I've watched him heal much harder things than that. I've watched God do miracles in people. But not to mention the fact that I'm alive because of it. But he didn't heal them that way. He helped her recover quickly. He helped her to heal up. But more importantly, he brought money from all over the place to cover something that was impossible for them to cover. That is a miracle, what happened. Are you kidding me? In 5 days to raise over 20, whatever it was, $25,000 for a certain, are you kidding me? That's amazing. That isn't the way they saw it getting answered, but it's the way God answered them. And it brought such a courage to them in an area that they would need it. This is, you remember the disciples on the boat when the storm came and they went to Jesus and they woke him up? That lesson that they learned that day helped them to be the apostles that went out and taught the world about Jesus. That lesson. Why? Do you remember what he said to them? Little faith. They learned faith that day. They learned nothing is impossible for God that day. You hear me? Now, some of you don't think you're servants. I don't serve anybody. I'm my own. You know, join the military. You'll figure that out quick again. What do you mean I'm not my own? Like, you read it in the Bible, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. You don't like it. You read it in the military, and you're like, what do you mean I sold myself out to the government, and now I'm just government property? What's this all about? You know, you'll figure it out quick, because you don't get a choice. People aren't sitting there petting your back like, it's going to be okay, you'll make it through. I've never seen a DI come up to guys and be like, if he's doing this, man, be afraid. Very afraid. He is not going to do this to help you and love you. And like, you're just going to make it. You can do it. I've never heard one. Ever. As a matter of fact, they don't order tea that quietly. I've never heard them do anything like that. What I'm saying to you is, you may not think you're a servant, but you're serving something.
Come on.
You are serving something. You may serve the stupid fashion of the world. God help you if you do that. I don't mind. I'm not calling you a sinner. I'm just saying, God help you keeping up with that mess. You're going to be wearing sweaters around your ankles, tie them up in knots. You're going to be painting yourself with, you know, spray paint, being like, this is what they're doing in Paris. Like, well, God help you. You know, I told people this maybe a decade ago. Hannah Montana was actually setting the fashion trend for like a huge population of girls on the planet at one point in time. If that's possible, do you really want to serve the fashion trend? Like, there are fashion trends where people wear My Little Ponies, and I'm not talking about little girls. I'm talking about straight up people, adults. I'm not against My Little Ponies. My daughter has some. I'm just saying, don't serve. You're serving something. Don't serve the world. Don't serve society. Don't serve the ranks of things. Serve God.
Amen.
Can I give you a little advice? If you're one of those people that hears the sound and everything that it sounds like and everything that it looks like says bow down to that or you're in trouble, I have news for you. Everybody who bowed down to avoid the fire is going to burn in one. Everybody who stood up to serve their God and stood in the fire is going to be alive and they're going to be safe and they're going to be taken care of. And Nebuchadnezzar, after the fact, served God and worshiped him. It says he worshiped God. That's literally the next thing that happens in the story is he worshiped God. You would too, because your best guys died trying to put them in that thing, and they're alive in there, and they saw someone else show up. He was not in there with them, and he didn't come out the way that they came out when they came out. He would just showed up, and he's there, and they're free in there. That means they were bound when they went in, and they came out free. He was able to call them, and they were like, oh, all right, we'll come out and talk to the king again. Like, whoa, this is not the modern day. This would be even a bigger deal, because in modern day, you would have enough knowledge of physics that it would freak you out even more. It's true. Back then, they would just be like, this is some kind of weird magic. Nowadays, it's be like, this is just impossible. This is like a movie effect. You know, this is not really happening, is it? I've watched people respond this way to miracles. I've watched people get out of wheelchairs, and other people go, maybe they weren't actually lame. Like, whoa, did you miss the miracle? I knew that person. You don't know what. Look at their legs when they came in. Like, you can fake a lot of things. You ever seen a person in a wheelchair's legs? You try faking a leg being bone thick? I've watched God. Are there people that are faking out there? Yeah. There are people that fake things out there all the time. Are there fake miracles out there? Yeah, there are, because people fake that stuff. I don't know why. To this day, they fake it utter, and it has to be inspired from the devil, because they're out there being used for the wrong purpose, again, to put people's faith under pressure. But I want to encourage you guys, you will never see the hand of God move if you don't seek it. You will not. It will move. You won't see it. You won't see his coming if you're not seeking him. You won't see the answers if you're not seeking them. If you think just the inside feeling, because this is how I was, I know there's a God. If you think that's going to save you, you're in trouble. Because if you don't seek him, you don't get to find him. It's a biblical rule. I believed all through those nasty years of my life, I believed somewhere there was a God. I did.
Come on, 100%.
Through all those years.
Yep.
I didn't take the Lord's name in vain.
Right.
I didn't go to church and do churchy stuff either, but I believed there was still a God somewhere.
Yes.
That didn't save me, guys.
Nope.
That didn't even really help me. You need much more than that. You need to actually take the action to seek. If you never close your eyes and give God time and pray and try to find, try to seek, listen to these words. Ask God, if you're real, show up for me and touch me today. If you never do things like that and give him time, give him some of your time, you're never going to find a thing. And if you're doing things wrong and sinful and filthy in your life and you think you're going to hear clear, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't seek, you cannot find. If you won't knock, it won't be opened. If you don't ask, it can't be answered. It does not matter what your intentions are. It does not matter what you wish would happen. It doesn't even matter if somewhere deep inside you do think that there is. Until you start to seek it out, you can't find it. You could believe all day long there's a pirate ship that got wrecked off the coast of the Gulf that's only 10 miles out into the Gulf, and it's sitting there, and you can believe it with all, you could get t-shirts. But until you go seek it, you're never going to find it. Doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if it's there. Doesn't matter if you believe it. It doesn't matter if you get other people to believe it. Until you go seek it out, you will never know is it really there or not, and you'll never find it for sure. You can have pictures of it, but you'll never find it. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't find something you're not seeking. It is impossible. This is the only reason that atheists can even exist on the planet, because they just aren't trying to see God. And this is the problem going on right now in our country. You see this government weird garbage and this political. I've never seen in all these years, I've never seen a political mess like what we have going on right now in our country. It's pathetic. And you see Christians standing up so strong on one side or the other, which is always shocking to me when Christians stand up on both sides and then say to the other Christians, and I've had Facebook friends say on there, one friend said, "Where are all the left-wing Christians? I can't find anybody to help support the left wing. How can anybody that's a Christian support Trump?" And I sit there going to myself like, what? in the actual world, are you thinking? I told somebody a couple weeks ago, they said to me this about Trump. I said, man, Trump is a character. He is a strange guy. Trump is been a womanizer. He's been foul. He's more of a Christian now than I've ever seen him, which is normally the opposite of what happens when people get into the office. They pretend to be Christian to get in office. Then they act filthy.
Exactly.
Now he's more of a Christian than, actually, he's more of a Christian than any president I've seen in office during my lifespan, as far as acting like a Christian in office. That's not my job to tell you if he's a Christian any more than it is my job to judge you as one.
Right.
It's not our job. It really isn't. But that's not why I voted for him when he got elected. I voted for him for two reasons, and I'll tell you my two reasons, and you can like him or not, and I could care less whether you do or not. One, I'd rather not vote. I refuse to put my name down on a ballot to vote for somebody who's going to kill babies.
Yeah.
That's it. Why? Because they have to sign something that allows people to kill babies, and my name supports their name, and I don't want to get to heaven and be like, oh, how many millions of babies again? Are you accountable for helping kill? That's right, I signed my name to that. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. I don't want to purposely support homosexual marriage. Why? You know, what do you got against homosexuals? It's what I have against the idea that they want marriage. People can be sinners out there all they want to. The Bible's very clear about what's an abomination to God, and it is not popular nowadays to even talk about. Even mentioning it, people are like, well, that's hateful. Like, no, it's realistic. It's in our belief system, guys, like it or not. I don't hate homosexuals.
That's right.
I'll try to reach them and love them and bring God to them just the same as anybody else. But marriage is something God designed. It's a biblical thing. God made marriage. God made man and woman. God put them together. God made nature. God did this. And the fact is, the world puts under fire that they want to call it marriage. They don't have to call it marriage, guys. They don't have to marry them and do. They're trying to take God's act of marriage and put it on them. That's not fair. It's not right. And I can't support it. It's not something I will support. Well, that's not fair or right. Yeah, it is. It's biblically sound. I'm not going to say something that's fair or right. I'm going to say something that's biblically sound. But this garbage going on in politics is because Christians have lost their moral compass, which tells me they have lost their connection to God. Those people on Facebook, it's a very cool unfollow block. That's what happens with me. Yeah. Because I'm such a Trump supporter? Are you kidding me? I support my president. I pray for him.
Yeah.
I prayed for the last one, probably more than Trump. I was constantly like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
It's true.
You have to pray for your president, because I don't know how many times I prayed, God, please guide his hand. Guide his hand when he doesn't want to do this. Like, he's messing it up. God, help him fix it. I pray for our president. But I am not, people say, are you a Republican? I say more often than not, because I can't vote Democratic. I'm more of, it's hard to explain it to people. I more like the Tea Party half the time. I like the not killing babies. That's very attractive to me in the Republican Party. But I'll tell you this weird truth, guys. And I say this to most people that ask me this question, because I've had people say to me, I don't know why Christians would support Trump. And what I tell them is not, you moron, you're not even acting like a Christian if you don't support the president that supports not killing babies just in itself. I don't say stuff like that to people because I don't think it. I think that utter thought, which is this. I have a problem with Christians that back up the government as though that's the representation that they should have in their life instead of the Bible. I have a serious problem with Christians who so identify with the political things going on that when Trump comes under fire, they feel like they're under fire. That should be what happens when the Bible comes under fire, when Trump comes under fire. That should be what happens when the Word of God, our actual government system going up, comes under fire, not when this system that you live in goes under fire. Does that mean that that you wouldn't support? I love our country. I'm patriotic, and I support it, but I'll tell you what, I am from a nationality in heaven.
That's right.
So I have a real problem when I would be willing to yell at someone. That's why I don't go on Facebook. Well, I mean, that's one of the, I'm not an idiot also. But I don't go on Facebook being like, you morons who don't, like, you want to get famous, do that, but it will be all kinds of hellfire at you, and you'll look stupid because you just tried to teach a bunch of fools.
That's right.
No, they're going to turn around and rend you and bite you, and you're going to be like, well, what was that about? It was the truth. It was. You just did a bad thing. Never try to teach a fool like that. Never try. I instead represent the kingdom of God, and I encourage you the same. Represent him. Does it mean you don't support? That's not what I said. I believe, I love having the I voted today. Why? Because we need to care. Our not voting as a church, and I don't mean us as a church, I mean the church, is why we've had some garbage in office.
Yeah.
Franklin Graham getting a whole bunch of evangelical people active is one of the reasons, probably the only reason Trump got elected. It's true. It's true. If Christians would get out there and vote what they believe, we would be running the elections in our country. So when we sit there mad that the 9th District Court or we get mad because the Supreme Court or we get mad because of our House or we get mad because of the Democratic, be mad for a reason, guys, because it's our fault. As Christians, if we went out and voted according to what this word said, we'd be running the elections in this country. We'd be having godly or right people in office. We wouldn't be constantly putting filth in. We wouldn't be killing thousands on thousands on thousands of babies. We would not be condoning abominations in our country. We would not have this great flair for filth and garbage that goes on and this drive for it. We need to be better at being Christians, and that is impossible to do if you don't even believe. Faith has been under fire in our country, and people still think it's just them. If you're coming under fire, it is your faith. It is your ability to believe God. So my encouragement to you is recognize it a little bit, trust in God a little bit, and at least hear the words when I said, if you don't seek, you won't find. Try seeking. Test God. He will show up. He even says it. Test me in these things. Test him. You know, your problem isn't that God hasn't showed up. Your problem is you've never even tried to seek him. You either thought other people would do it or you thought just being Christian-y is going to do it, and it doesn't work. Seek him or you won't find him. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning, God, let the seed go in that we need to be chasers and followers of you. We need to be people willing to stand in a fire to avoid the fire. God, we can't be people that bow down like the two different types of people in those days. The people that bow down to the false gods, bow down to the little g, bow down to the sounds of the devil, bow down to the way things seem. We can't be people that are willing to do that. We have to stand our ground and stand on you and on the faith and on the cornerstone that you are, Lord Jesus. We need to have faith active in our life. God, help us, those of us who have been battling in faith and battling in belief, we don't get to see when we have blinded eyes. We don't get to understand when we can't see. God, help us. For anyone here that goes out and says, God, this year I want to be like no other year. This year is coming. I want a commitment like no other year. God, that you will show up alive in me, that you will show up with life for me, that you will show up real for me, and I will seek you and I will find you. The way the Bible says, God, I pray that you just touch our lives, touch our eyes, touch our ears, and help us. God, help us to have enough drive, enough life inside of us to seek after you, to find you, enough faith left inside of us. The Bible says you've given a portion of faith to each. Help us have that portion activated that we would go and seek you. And instead of blindly turning away from you today, to give you some time and try to seek you and try to find you. Because when we find you, God, it's a miracle waiting to happen. It's salvation, it's redemption. It's amazing what we can be forgiven of. It's amazing what we can be cleaned from. It's amazing what you can do with the life that was broken. It's amazing what you can do with us. God, I pray that you help us going into this New Year's as a church. Help us to reach the lost in this area. This is the purpose of our church, not just to grow in number, to reach the lost. God, to help them to meet you. Help us to reach the souls in this area. Put a draw on the people that are in this area. Help us to be effective to go and reach the lost. God, use us to be examples for you. Help us to bring souls to the kingdom and help us ourselves to never quit on you, God, to keep following, to keep chasing all the way to the end in Jesus' name. Amen.